It's a mathematical calculation that you're going to broadcast by frequency into the portal, into the black goo dark energy liquid stuff, and that will send information to it, and this will suddenly be put in resonance with the place that you ask it in this frequency key. For instance, here's a portal floating in space. It looks like Stargate stuff. Actually, I have a photo of it because I've seen one by the eyes of Thorhan. It's very interesting, you really need to see that. It's in my next book. 401, that's the one in orbit of Jupiter. That what it looks when you approach it, and you have this waving thing in it. You see a portal in space and you want to go to Aldebaran, you need to enter the coordinates of Aldebaran. So you are going to your ship, you enter the coordinates of Aldebaran in your ship. Beauties, not at all. How will you enter the coordinates that are in your ship now into the portal? Because its portal is not a wormhole. It will teleport you. So how will the portal know, the dark energy thegoon know, where you want to go? The ship is maybe calibrated on Aldebaran, but the portal is not. So you're going to send a frequency that encodes that encodes everything and involving the CU of secret geometry, mathematical formulas. It's very complex. You have also sound frequencies also in space. You don't hear sound, but it travels, and it will so be absorbed by the waving stuff, and so the waving stuff will calibrate on it. And then you can go through and you'll to Aldebaran in second. You have these portals everywhere in the universe. You can go from here to here, to here, to here. That's so how the Matra come from Andromeda galaxies like this. The driver I told you about, the core engine, about the propulsion system, and now I'm going to tell you about third, the driver. We had the fuel, we've seen the fuel, what fuel you put in what engine you use, and now who drives it and how to drive it, how to give orders to the engine and the core where to go. There are two usual ways for driving a ship, and that depends the route you take. The method of moving, linear, portals, wormholes, etc. So you have thought or by manual drive, both, and you can combine both. Thought is the most common. So how does it work? You have the mind of the pilot, which is connected to the navigation system by either consciousness or an implant. And all pilots in the Galaxy Federation have an implant in the head that allows them. It's easier, it's safer. Commonly works by using brain waves in the gamma range most of the time for humans. So if the pilot consciousness is not able to focus powerfully enough, that's when the implant comes in. There's also a third way, which uses the DNA connection. I've done that. It's by applying the palm, 402, of your hands onto octagonal patches on the side of the command seats. I'm going to show you a drawing in a minute. That connects you to the mind of the ship. So in this last option, only pilots belonging biologically to the same species as the one who built the craft. For instance, Erahal cannot drive that way an Ori ship, or Zenai cannot drive a Tal ship by DNA coding. So it's the bonding of the pilot with the ship. So target destination is set and entered in a system first, and the pilot thoughts are used to tour drive it, just to move the ship and to give impulse. Sometimes there's no coordinates entered, that's what happens mostly. When you do a long travel, long distance for instance in times of peace, you want to go from Earth to Pluto. It's peaceful and it's fine. You just enter coordinates and you just give the impulse with the mind and you're there, and you just control the speed, and you can stop, can change your mind. In times of war you need to change direction all the time, because you're attacked, you need to do this and that. So you're not going to enter coordinates, you're going to just drive with thoughts, with your mind straight away, mind melt with the mind of the ship. These are the octagonal patches, here and here. It's like glassy green in the Pleiadian scout ship, and you are going to put your hands on it. In these ships all the commands are in the seats. The front panel is only for the control panels and the visuals, but all the commands are not in front, it's all in seat. So that's when the manual drive comes in. It's for use for short distances and planetary, 403, flights and linear travel of course. You can use manual drive for quantum leaps, portals and hyperspace as well. You can use that for warp drive. So in the Ahil Scout ships of the Galactic Federation of Worlds, all the commands are in the pilot seats. And so the front board is used only for monitoring screen. So when you sit in the seats in the front on the board, there's nothing. It's like smooth, and when you activate the power you have all these holographic screens that pop up from everywhere. That's quite impressive, and reminiscent things as well that appears under the materials, half translucent. So then you press the commands in your the armrest. And then you can have, if you decide to go on manual, that doesn't happen without piloting. You can have holograph decide activate holographic commands in front of you. Holographic screens appear just in front of you. So I've had the opportunity of trying that. So it works with the static electromagnetic field, produced by your fingers. So you put your fingers through the hologram and it responds and you feel a little tingling. It's like a very mild electrical discharge. You can activate commands. So I tried it to move squares with my finger, with squares here and square there it was moving the ship. It was quite impressive, and so it's affecting the direction. I have a drawing that I made quickly, that shows you how these things look like. So in the seat approach, that's the holographic things, that's what it looks like. And you put your fingers in it and you move the stuff with your fingers like this. The routes, how to go from A to B, ways to get from A to B, you have different ways. You have linear travel, you have quantum leap, you have portals and wormholes, you have time travel, interdimensional, interdensity and hyperspace. These are the main ways of traveling. Linear travel is used in planetary flight and short distances, and it doesn't involve bending either space and time. Warp beam, as I told you, can be used in a hyperdrive, or the torsion field propulsion system as well. That can be used in linear travel or anti-gravity. You have quantum leap, so that's the portal technology. It's pretty much teleportation. But it's not like in Star Trek where the particles travel through space. No, they disappear somewhere and they, 404, reappear somewhere else. Something that the producers of Star Trek maybe didn't understand quietly when they were told about this. The particles are not sent and recomposed somewhere else. They just are quantum resonance. I don't know how to explain that better. So the whole ship dosed hat. It's portals. Quantum leaps by portals. You have time travel, of course. They use the same substance that enters in the composition of the portal, dark energy or black goo. It's the waving liquid-like material, it's the medium transferring you to somewhere else. You can either travel interdimensional or interdensity. There are a multitude of dimensions. Dimensions are parallel universes, imbricated one in the other, and each dimension has different levels of densities of matter. One dimension has many densities. The densities are the different octaves of vibration of all created matter in a specific dimension. I've explained that already. So to go interdimensional, you can use a portal, dark energy. For certain species, for instance the Xeni or the Ouri species, who are alien really? The Igaroth do that also, quite a high level of psychic development. You can use conscious projection. You don't need technology, you don't need a ship. You can just teleport by your power of consciousness. That's absolutely amazing. It's trans-dimensional shift of consciousness of the pilot, and the pilot does that and he shifts the whole ship with him. Because he's connected by mind meld with the mind of the ship. It's very skilled. Only some species can do it. Humans have still difficulties to do that without technology. They can't, any humans, even Pleiadians. Then you have interdensity. That's just a shift of frequency. It's like an interdimensional leap. Shifting density can either use technology or consciousness. Also, it's no need for portals nor dark energy or antimatter, because you do not go to from A to B. You just shift to a higher level or frequency. You don't change dimension, you don't move through space, you just adjust frequency to a higher or lower octave. It's the same technology used, for instance, in the frequency belts. And you have also, the last one is hyperspace. I explained it with the beam ship and the vacuum, It's traveling in between space, where the continuum is warped and all notions of distance and time are abolished. If I forget something, it will be in my book. Q. Do they personalize the interior of the ship, for example like certain styles such as vintage or like retro with dance floors and disco balls? No, everything, every shape in a ship is a mathematical calculation. Even the furnitures, you cannot add a goblet. It's all calculated. They have goblets they can drink, they have resting places with pillows and they have uniform storage, but all these are calculated in the mass, the actual magnetic thing, the calculations. So they don't do decoration. Everything is the purest designs as possible, because the ship works better. It's all legit. You cannot add or remove something from a ship. You know, there are a few ships that have been captured during the 1940s and 50s and try to be retro-engineered to add weapons. The Nazis have done that, but they couldn't add weapons, because the ship wouldn't work anymore. You can't, because it's a whole, it's one thing, and for many people who have been abducted you can remember being in the ship, even if it's the Greys. It's same technologies everywhere. Can you remember for some of you, how all the consoles and furniture are like molded in one thing? Yes, that's it. Ships are made in space also, they are not made in hangars or planetary. They are made in no gravity environment. Q. Are specific space uniforms needed to be worn when on the ship? 405. Yes, you have the environmental suits, that will regulate the blood pressure and the gravity and maintain you in the right density, when the ship will travel. So I'm talking about the Federation now. There isn't any global uniform in the Federation. Every Inair is a uniform of their culture and sometimes the social rank is shown on it. So that's important who you know who you address. We are all equal, but we have work attributions. When you work somewhere, you need to know if that guy is the plumber or if that guy is in charge, or if that guy'll do this or that. You need to know who does what to be able to work with people. That's why they have their stages by insignia or shapes or colors on their uniforms, but it's many. You can recognize races with uniform they wear. It's the same with the smart suits. There's less variation with the smart suits, because it's not like clothing. Smart suit is technology, so usually they look like always glittery, because you have tiny particles of metal work like an armor. You can shoot someone, it won't go through. Either all kinds of blue and green, and you have silver or white or gold, or you have even a shade that is warm beautiful, it's between silver and gold. This silver with shimmering gold reflections, it's very nice. He'll have a blue turquoise blue, the Tal Pleiadians have white. The Centaurians will have silver. The Amites will have this golden shimmering one. The Amites uniforms are beautiful. Really nice. I like that. And frequency belts will change color with species. The hull of the ships now. I'm going to talk to you about the skirt of the ship skin. That's something incredible material. The ship skin are composed the outside, it's the outside metal, the outside envelope of most of the spacecrafts, and it's capable of modifying its molecular structure. And as well as its magnetic charge and its density as well, and that depends on the environment and the conditions of travel. The first time I sat in the command chair and Thorhan connected me with the central drive, I felt the ship had the consciousness. It was very weird. He connected me to the center drive by my implant, he just attuned. It was very weird, it was like suddenly I was in telepathy communication with a pet and that the pet was ready to go and eager to receive orders. It was so weird and quite a bit disturbing. So I ask him, is that alive, because it feels alive so that makes you laugh, and he explained to me that yes, the ship is kind of alive. It's kind of alive, it has a consciousness, controlling its own body and skin. I ask if it has a soul? No, it's no soul, it's synthetic intelligence. It's created with algorithm and that's how we can pilot by mind. Because it has its own mind. The pilot connects the mind of the ship, but the ship is an artificial mind, artificial intelligence, it's an AI basically. What the ship is, it's this consciousness and the skin. So it's alive too, but it's synthetic. It's a synthetic material that responds to the ship's mind. It's like our skin, so it responds to the ship's mind, but it does better than our skin. It shifts frequency at will and it can slightly modify a shape when necessary, but slightly. So that's when you have rare materials that enter in this composition, such as drillium, monatomic gold, and I don't know all the names, that other elements. You can find on Earth monatomic gold a lot, that's why it's well traded here, and other elements you can find on other worlds that are equivalent. So when the power core is activated, the skin ionizes and it kind of awakens, and that's incredible. The ionization is created by the magnetic torsion field most of the time, can be created by the other ways also, but I remember. I told you the torsion field propulsion is the most common. Radiation then that is emitted, you know it's by the skin of the ship, is very harmful. If you come too near, don't go. Because it go near when it's activated, when it's shiny and glowy, because it can melt your own atomic structure. You can really badly burn you. You can die from it. But when it in inertia, the skin looks like and feel like a solid metal, smooth and solid metal. But, 406, when you touch it feels not that solid, you can just like rubber. It's just technology. I mean it has a memory, kind of a memory. I had the occasion to touch one once. Thorhan allowed me one day. He took me to landing day when I was upstairs and it just made me feel touched under the belly of a ship. It was a scout ship, and then my fingers went a little bit in it and it had a little bit of static discharge, like wow. It was like touching someone's skin. You just touch the skin, it just goes in, and then you relieve your finger and it takes back its shape. It was exactly like this, a skin. The material under my eyes reformed as pristine and sleek as it was before I touched it. It's memory cognition, but it's metal. It's a metallic compound, which has memory cognition. That's quite incredible. Q. When the ship is cloaked with frequency, could it a 3D plane hit it, or it's existing in a higher frequency? Super question. There are two things here. A ship can be cloaked using higher frequency shift in its outside, so it will make all the ship invisible, but it will be still here. Now it's not the same as when the whole ship shifts into a higher density. Then the plane can go through it because it won't be here anymore. So it's two difference. When it's just the outskirt that is raised in frequency makes it cloak all the ship, or when the whole ship is raised, that's different. Then of course it's not there. Q. Who wears black suits and only for commanders and captains? The Dark Fleet does that, the Nachtwolf, if it's humanoids. Otherwise the Zeta Reticuli, they wear black glossy suits. And it's the ones in charge wear these glossy suits, the synthetics are naked. Altair, if it has dark suits and white hair and there are tall whites, it's Altair. It's the Alcori, and they are not friends with Terror. They are working with the Dark Fleet. I am going to share something with you. Someone contacted me in Canada. It's a very interesting story, because in November 2018, when occurred in Ireland the famous Shannon incident that is very known in the ufology field. It was not far from where I live, and I saw the ships, and that night I was being on board a ship. It's in my book Gift from the Stars. I saw two ships. It was two ships off Federation, glowing in a turquoise aquamarine haze, flying around the other. Like these two dot there were two, and they were just flying, like letting me see them. And when I said, hey, I saw you, this shot off southeast. I'm on the west coast of Ireland. That was the famous Shannon incident night, when planes, pilots related to the control towers that they were seeing these ships as well. Now yesterday someone named Olivier from Canada sent me photos of the same ships. He lived in Canada, in the East Canada. So definitely there's a base in North Atlantic of the Federation, because he allowed me to share this. So he sent me the photo and I contrasted it on Photoshop. It was the same ships. That was absolutely incredible. 407, the two points above the moon, then that's a close up and down, a contrasted close up of the right ship. That's Federation Scout Ship, and the blue haze is due to a special composition in the Earth that creates the ionization. It's different electromagnetic conditions of weather that create the colors. How cool is that? Q. Does the floor have an appearance of a color, shiny, clean, or windows? In the Zeta ships I've been at, the floor is tiled with octagonal grayish tiles. In a Hill Pleiadians scout ship of the Federation it's white. It's not tiled, it's like a linoleum effect with little patches. It's neither totally smooth or slick, it's kind of rough, you can understand why. And windows, not in all the ships. Sometimes you think there are windows, but it's not window seats, especially for interplanetary flights. There's no windows, because it's a weakness in the structure of the ship. So you have windows only in the planetary scout ships or patrol ships, but these don't go very far. They don't do warp drive, they don't do interdimensional. They are just scout ships and patrol ships. These have windows, but there are scout ships that are made for interplanetary flight and bigger ships. These are not windows, these have screens on the sides that projects what's outside inside. It's like windows, but that's not a hole. You think it's windows, but in fact you look through a screen. That's very well done. 408. The 31st of August 2021. Q&A Aliens and Religion https://www.youtube.com/watch.v=x/c4ug/aliens-and-religions. How does that fit into religion, especially the religions of the book? What is the perspective of aliens regarding to God? Where does Jesus fit into the picture? Aliens and angels, are the angels or aliens, are they demons? First we need to go back to source, and when I say that going back to the source, it is on many levels. What is the source of religions? A religion is a dogma that has been developed upon a message of someone who allegedly received this message from gods or God or angel or heaven, some beings from other dimensions and densities. You can make a religion with everything. Let's go back to the message. Why some ascendant masters have delivered some inspired messages and no religion has been made about them, such as Buddha. Buddhism is still remained a spiritual philosophy. Well, it has been different, for instance, Christianity. When we go back to the primordial message, and this concerns Christians to Jews to Muslims. Primordial messages were about, I'm going to talk about Jesus, Jesus bringing a message. He was just a prophet. Someone just inspired and probably channeling from a higher being, so God or whatever he was. He brought a message off, and the message was this: love each other, respect each other, we are all equals in the eye of God, the kingdom of God is within you, be kind, be nice, respect and love first yourself and the others. And if you want to reach out to God, his kingdom is within you. This is what Jesus said. He became very popular, because he was awakening a lot of people, the masses. The Roman Empire saw a threat in his message. And you cannot shut down a good message. If a messenger delivers an incredible message that awakens the masses, you can kill the messenger, but you cannot kill the message. The message will prosper and spread. You can kill as many messengers as you want, the message will survive. So the best thing was to assimilate this message, and take it as theirs, and make of this message a tool of power. This was the Roman Empire, and it still is. The Roman Empire now has sided with the reptilians, the Dark Ones, and there is many things to say about it. It's not the topic of tonight. They created dogma as tool of power. They told us quite a bit contrary things, relative to what Jesus said. They said that we come into this world with sin, we should be ashamed to be here, and the only way to reach out to paradise and not rot in torture and hell is to obey and bend on your knees as a slave in front of the priest, in front of the institution. Nothing to do with what Jesus said, nothing. So that's what became of this religion, which was at the start a wonderful message of love and empowerment. And you know it is the same as Islam. Muhammad brought laws to help everyone to get on, well, you know, and social rules, but you know, power leaders, greedy leaders. They want to control what they can, they cannot kill. So they did the same. Well, that was a little reminder that is a bit astray from the topic of tonight, but I wanted to put the picture in the background. Now let us go back to the source again. Another source, us. What is happening within us, when we're confronted to something, that we do not understand? We fear, we are scared and we say, this thing is divine, it's magic. It's either godly or either demonic, because we don't understand. The church, the religious institutions have groomed humanity into believing that anything that is not controlled by them, is demonic. But the good news is that this is in this very institution that side with the demons. 409. When we don't understand something, we are going to say, oh, it's angels or it's demons. So that's the first thing to consider. You know, there are real angels and they have nothing to do with aliens. There are real demons and they have nothing to do with aliens. Angels are supranatural entities. They are not incarnated in physical bodies. They are pure consciousness. And they are in different higher realms of existence. They belong to the orb of Thoth. So now I'm going to tell you about, this is a shamanic view of the earth. I explained this a little bit in my previous video, Find Your True Power. The earth is like an onion with different layers of densities, it's all one into the other. There is no hell and no heaven properly speaking, but there are lower densities and higher densities. Let us consider that we are on Middle Earth, the middle density, that we call 3D if we want. There are realms of existence that some can identify as the lower astral, where all the demons, the dark entities, well, there are entities who are very much in suffering and in search, hungry. They search for vampirizing your energy, by possessing people, by torturing people, and they are going to haunt vulnerable people. That they will be able to use to do despicable things. So these are the Reldemons. They are entities endemic belonging to the Matrix, the soul matrix of Earth. And the soul matrix is not only for our souls. It's all souls, everyone. Not even the source of existence. It's an orb, it's the Earth, it's around the Earth. The lower astral will be low frequency. They will be close to the core of the earth or the ground. And they are all sort of shapes and they are hungry. They feed on our fears, on our sexual energies, on our pains, on war, on suffering, on stress, anxiety. They feed on all of that. So they are going to manipulate humans to get that. I spoke in one video about alcohol as well and addictions. These entities, these lower astral entities and demons are part of them. What we call demons, they will work on the addictions and get you addicted. Once you have a weakness for something, that will be useful for them to feed on you, for instance alcohol. Why alcohol? It's a good example because the alcohol breaks down your shields, your protections. So any entity can hook at you, and so that is the lower astral and the demons. You have the succubus, incubus. They can hook at you and just put their claws on you and you feel a weight. Usually it's on the back or on the hip. And they will suck really your life force, and they will maintain you in a kind of zombie state of addiction to whatever allows them to do that. So then you need either a shaman or either an exorcist. There's no other way to get rid of them. Rising your frequency will not only avoid them to look at you, but also if you really do it well, expose them. If it doesn't work, see an exorcist or shaman. Shamans are qualified for that. That's demons. See, nothing to do with aliens. Angels are supernatural beings, but as lower astral they are in a higher astral and they are of a higher density, but part of the earth orb. Angels are just earth beings and they belong to earth. They're earthlings, but in a higher density, and some are very high consciousnesses. They are amazing. Powerful. And there's a whole hierarchy in them. They're wonderful. The angels. They may work with the good aliens and the demons may work with the bad aliens, with which I believe both works is true, but angels are not aliens. Aliens are people like us, like me, like you. The only difference is that they are called aliens, because they are not born of this earth orb. They are born of another planet's orb. They don't belong to these soul matrix, they belong to another soul matrix. That's aliens. They come in spaceships or portals, they come with technology to Earth. Portals are also technology. The angels and the demons are already here, because they belong to the Earth. So aliens are not angels. Aliens are not demons. Although some can behave either like these or those, but they have nothing to do with them.